present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Giles Brandreth, and Barry Cryer in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we have two of our regular players of the game, and we welcome back two guests who have played the game with great success in the past, Barry Cryer and Giles Brandreth. We wish them every success against these two regulars, the intrepid Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. And as usual, they're going to try and speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Let us begin the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject we're going to start with is good luck. Would you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, this is what we wish people when we hope the good fortune will attend upon them in their everyday doings and, of course, in other things which they may well get up to. It is by wishing this on them that we obtain their good favours, and they, of course, in turn...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of course.
Yes, you did repeat, of course, I'm afraid. Yes, I know it's one of your idiosyncrasies of speech, but it's repetition, I'm afraid. So Clement Freud gets a point for a correct challenge. And you take over the subject, Kenneth, of good luck. 39 seconds, starting now.
As you fall over a precipice, good luck is the single phrase you are most likely to hear, spoken or shouted by anyone on the mountain who perceives what is happening to you in this dangerous moment, which is close to your last on this earth. Good luck, they say.
When Ian Mester blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Clement Freud. He has the lead at the end of the round, and Giles Brandreth begins the next round. 60 seconds, Giles, on how to upset the man next to me, starting now.
I don't like to have a man.
Barry Crouch.
He's upsetting me. Flippant, just... calculate to rattle him and give him a point.
Right. No, we'll give you a point for a nice challenge, a nice little bonus for you, but Giles keeps the subject, and there are 58 seconds on it, starting now.
I have a little trick in order to ensure when I go by public transport that I don't have anyone sitting next to me. I get into the corner of the carriage, and when anyone looks as if they're going to come and join me, I don't say...
Kenneth, challenge.
To anyone.
Anyone. Get into the corner of the carriage, anyone, and don't like anyone next to me. Yes, Kenneth, 50 seconds on how to upset the man next to me, starting now.
One of the most obvious ways, of course, is to smell. Now then, smelling, and it can be done with very bad breath or by carrying offensive vegetables in a state of very near decay. I have done this, and it's worked like a treat. On aeroplanes, I know a bloke who actually carried vegetable soup and then put it in an airline bag, and everyone thought it was something else. When he actually ate it on the plane with the food, people thought, how revolting, you know. And certainly ensures that the seat next door doesn't stay occupied for very long. On the other hand, it does stigmatise you because you're immediately thought of as antisocial. People say, oh, a horrible person. Oh, I can bear to sit next to him. Oh, it's a type of stink. Oh, disgusting. And of course, it ensures that you don't really have enough popularity in certain substantial areas or indeed any other area. In the drawing room, it's...
Kenneth, the audience were enjoying it so much, we were rather naughty and let you carry on. Way past the minute. In fact, you went on for a whole minute on your own. You took it over with 45 seconds and you talked for one full minute on the subject. And, of course, you get a point for speaking when the whistle should have gone. And we'll give you another one for speaking when it did go. So, and you're now equal in the lead with Clement Freud.
Oh, good.
Barry Cryer,
sir,
will you begin the next round? The subject is bunk. There are 60 seconds, starting now.
Henry Ford, the automobile magnate, averred that history was bunk, a conclusion with which I entirely agree. The other connotation could be maritime, in the sense of a berth, sleeping accommodation. One remembers the story of the purser of the ocean-going vessel who asserted...
Giles has challenged.
I'm afraid hesitation.
I'm afraid I would agree with that.
Yes. And so, Giles, you have another point on the subject of bunk, and there are 40 seconds starting now.
Laugh and the world smiles with you, snore and you sleep alone.
Now, Barry Crouch.
Deviation from the correct quotation.
Doesn't matter. He still wasn't deviating from the subject of bunk. He was making bunk of the quotation, wasn't he?
Thank you very much.
So, Giles, you have 36 seconds on bunk still, starting now.
One of the reasons that I sleep in a bunk is, I suspect, because we have 3 children under the age of 6 and we've only just discovered what caused it. And consequently, my wife has invited me to take the upper bunk while she is below with a delightful teddy bear who also doubles as our milkman.
Kenneth Challenger.
Deviation, I've seen it there. There's no bunks in it. It's all lies.
Since you were last in his house, he may have installed some bunks.
Oh, I know. See your point.
So I don't think he really can be accused of deviating from the subject. Giles, you have the subject still and 23 seconds, bunk starting now.
It is not generally known that my first wife has had an affair with Kenneth Williams, and indeed I only call her my first wife because...
Clement Freud challenged.
He's got 2 first wives.
Oh, yes.
I must explain that. I simply call her that to keep her on her toes. I'm still married to her.
Yeah, but you did repeat my first wife. No, having got a marvellous laugh at it, you see. Yes, he repeated my... That's what Clement got you on, repeating my first wife. So, Clement, you have 15 and a half seconds on bunk starting now.
It can be generally said that if your first wife does a bunk, you're likely to have to get married again. Unless you... believe.
Kenneth Williams. Yes, I think so, Kenneth. He couldn't imagine what to do. His first wife did a bunk. 8 seconds, Kenneth, on bunk starting now.
It is the American term for something which is not true or bogus, if you like. And, of course, we all know that these importations are not true.
Marcus. So, Kenneth Williams, once again, was speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point, and he has now definitely taken the lead at the end of that round. Kenneth, you are 1 point ahead of Clement Freud, 3 ahead of Giles Vandreth, and a few ahead of Barry Crouch.
I must apologise for hogging the programme. Sorry.
Right, Kenneth, we're back with you to start. The subject is Hamlet. Will you tell us something about him in the game, starting now?
Somebody once said to me, you know, that an actor who is reasonably mature should never play the role because it's essentially naive. And I know what he means. The very lines he says, like, this too solid flesh should melt for resolving...
Very quiet, Charlie.
Lack of repetition. too solid flesh.
This too... Is you... That's right, too solid flesh.
I didn't say it, because I don't
know.
Want to
He was doing the bowdlerized version. Perfectly fair.
Yes, perfectly fair.
It's a very clever challenge. And he was being very clever not to repeat too. He was misquoting, and you didn't challenge on that. So, Kenneth, besides my spec... I've got some new specs, and it's affecting my speech. Kenneth, you have 41 seconds on Hamlet starting now.
And then, of course, the advice to Mama about slip not between incestuous sheets. That smacks of rudeness, I think. It's certainly not the way a uniform...
Giles.
I think there was a little bit of hesitation there.
No, I don't think so. No. He's getting close to it, but...
Thank you. Some of my wife's children have come.
Your
Kenneth,
first wife's children.
They were supporting you.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
He's brought along his many mistresses.
Right, 23 seconds on Hamlet, starting now.
Well, a lovely bit of it is when he says that it should come to this, not 2 months dead. So loving to my mother that he might not beteem the winds of
Clement
heaven.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of mother.
He said mum before.
I said mama before.
Mama,
actually,
mama.
Yes. Yes, that's right. It's mum.
Mama.
I said ma. I never said mama at all. No, yeah, it's quite right.
No.
Very good, Ken. Very good, Ken.
19 seconds on Hamlet still, Ken, is starting now.
He was the Prince of Denmark, and perhaps the most moving thing in the entire play by William Shakespeare is that last almost benediction which is pronounced upon him when the lines occur, "Good night, sleep well." Good night, sweet prince. Yes, it's like an angel. Sing thee to thy rest. That's I always right. think it should be sing thee to thy sleep, because I want the two S's. You follow me? I like that alliteration, you know.
Nice. But it is also very difficult to do a quotation in just a minute when you're trying to keep going without repetition and all the other things. But you did very well. You kept going for 58 seconds with interruptions, and Clements got in with 2 seconds to go, starting. No. Kenneth, within
a
yes,
you didn't say it.
I did say now, didn't I?
Very slowly.
Ken, if you have half a second on Hamlet,
shall we try
starting
it
now.
To thine own self be true, and in
I probably don't need to tell you that after all the interruptions that Kenneth had, which gained him many points, he has increased his lead considerably at the end of that round, which is an unusual position for Kenneth to be in, but one which he deserves. Clement, will you take the next round, the subject omelette? Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Whereas Hamlet was a Scandinavian Tory, often known as the Danish Blue, omelette is a concoction of eggs, often containing some fish or meat or vegetable inside content, even cheese, I venture to say. You take half a dozen of these hen fruit, put them into a bowl, and whisk them with a fork, if possible, iced water, cream, and little pieces of butter, at which time you get a pan very hot indeed, put a minuscule amount of fat into it, and swish the mixture into the fryer.
Danny Cross challenge.
Repetition of into.
Oh.
Oh.
Boo. Boo.
Well, the audience let him know what they think about that, you see.
Somebody actually clapped, though.
No. The majority agree it was nitpicking. No. Pure nitpicking. There was Clement giving a lovely, an eloquent discourse, wasn't he? Most eloquent. All of us were hanging on his words.
There was an applause. There was an applause.
But what we'll do is we won't charge anything on that.
Why, right, what a very good chat.
I mean, if it's said into... if it's said into 3 or 4 times, then I think we do pick it up. Clement, you still have the subject of omelette, and you have 23 seconds starting now.
Parsley and mint are other useful ingredients to wrap into the mixture about which we have already talked. Now, it is terribly important. I would like none of you to forget that when an omelette is served, the plate should be hot.
Well, if we haven't already lost half our listeners who've gone out to make omelettes after that interesting discourse from Clement, let me tell you that he gained a number of points in the round, including one for speaking as the whistle went. He's moved forward. He's now only 2 behind our leader, Kenneth Williams. They're both quite a few ahead of Giles Brandreth and Barry Cryer. And Giles begins the next round, and the subject, Giles, is singlet. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Many people would think that a singlet is a garment that you wear for indulging in sporting activities. I happen to know it is a name given to a girl in Scandinavia who takes part in other sorts of entertainment. I know this because a few years ago, I was a member of Lord Longford's team investigating pornography. I still have the raincoat that I wore at the time, though my wife has actually sewn up the pockets. And now I wear it on rainy days, high days, and holidays. Now, the point of all this is that I met my first singlet when I was in Copenhagen with Lord Longford reaping the porn. She was a charming girl, a nymphette you would describe her as.
Clement Freud.
Lord Longford.
Yes. E. Clement, let it go for a bit, but he picked you up on it. 26 seconds on Lord Long... I mean, sorry, on singlet. Clement, starting now.
A singlet is a sort of close-fitting vest, and if you ask whether it is better to leave your pants in the vestry or to leave a singlet in the pantry, I would be totally open-minded about which would be preferable to the other. Singlets I have never worn myself, because having a hairy chest, I manage to keep warm enough in the cold weather without protective clothing.
Clement Freud, kept going till the whistle went, gained another point, and he's now equal with Kenneth in the lead. Barry Cryer begins the next round. Subject, Barry, is after singlet, doublet. Would you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
A doublet is a close-fitting garment for the upper part of the male body, but has another connotation, a semantic one in which one... Ah!
Giles.
I think we need to get a doctor. He seems to have had enough.
Giles, I agree with the challenge. You have 48 seconds on doublet starting now.
In the French version of the play Hamlet, which is entitled Omelette en France, doublet and hose are worn by the hero, the Prince of Denmark, or Prince de Danemark. And on this particular occasion, le petit prince, parce qu'on peut parler français, et anglais, and doesn't matter if you repeat it.
Has challenged.
What?
Barry challenged you, Barry Cryer.
The burden of his remarks is now the play Hamlet, either in English or French, nothing to do with the subject.
I agree he has
subject.
Deviation from doublet. You've gone on to the connections and between the two Hamlets, the two foreign versions. Right, 33 seconds for you, Barry, on doublet, starting now.
Doublet has another semantic connotation. The
throwing... Clement Freud challenge.
The second semantic.
You just had semantic when you were speaking before.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes.
I'm Clement's afraid. Very anti-semantic. I
Clement, you have doublet 29 seconds starting now.
A man came to me in March Marketplace and said, if I give you £5, will you double it? And I said, it would take me several months at an interest compounded of 9%. Before I'd be able to do this with any safety in the capital sum assured. And the man said, that isn't really what I mean.
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
This man said,
yes,
and
the man
said again.
Yes. Well, Kenneth, well, men. Listen, Kenneth. There are 12 seconds on doublet with you, Kenneth, starting now.
The garment got the name doublet because it actually folds over twice. Now, that's the point, you see. It is, in fact, material doubled. And singlet isn't doubled, so it...
So, Kenneth, you did quite fairly keep going till the whistle, and you've gone into the lead ahead of Clement Freud, and it's your turn to begin again. And this subject is a nice one. My advice to a young girl on her first date. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, a young girl on her first date should be very careful not to get the stone between her teeth, because it can be murder. If it is a girl on her first date in the sense of amour, then I would advise her to cut out the jaw in. Get him into the bedroom as can possibly be managed, and then murmur a lot of wonderfully delightful, endearing things in his ear hole, and preferably get the cocktails and the drinkettes ready. Make yourself look pretty ravishing, and he'll be coming up to your house and making you a very nice proposition. And you'll end up with Mr. Wright. I feel the positive is the thing you've got to go for. It's no but sitting about being negative. After all, Rome wasn't made.
Well, Kenneth kept started with the subject, finished with it, kept going magnificently on it, giving advice that no father would ever give to his daughter on a first date. And has increased his lead. He's now two ahead of Clement Freud and a few ahead of the other two. Clement, would you take the next round? The subject, plumbing. Will you tell us something about that in the just a minute, starting now?
Plumbing has become a 20th century art form in that it is now performed by people with no knowledge of the craft whatsoever. They answer telephones, and when you ring up and say something has gone wrong with my water heater, they come along and smash in the front door, rip out the piping, explode the electric system, and charge you £75 for an opinion and a costing as to whether they should return within the next 3 months and wreck the entire house. I have no great faith in this profession, and at one time was requested in Parliament to give my support to the plumber's registration bill. No, I said, people should have the right to do what they will with others' property. So, as of now, as they say, for the time being, any tradesman who wishes to get a pair of pliers and run amok or play havoc with where you live is entitled to do so. Ah.
Well, that doesn't often happen in just a minute. In two successive rounds, someone starting with the subject, finishing. And when that happens, of course, the person not only gets a point for speaking as a whistle going, but a bonus point for not being interrupted. And I would like to mention at this moment, I met somebody only last week who's been working in China, filming in Peking. And he says they hear Just a Minute over there. And I said, that's very surprising. He said, yes, they tune in to find out what the way of life is like in Great Britain. And after those last two rounds, I think they must have a very strange opinion of us. Giles Brandreth, another character. 60 seconds for you to talk on the subject of toys I still enjoy. Would you tell us something about that, bearing in mind the people in China who are listening, starting now?
The principal toy that I still enjoy is the Oi Oi. This is because I'm a dyslexic.
Clement Freud.
Is there really a toy called Oi Oi?
If you're dyslexic, yes.
I bet it were.
Write it down. Write it down and read it backwards. Clement, what's your challenge?
Even had it been a yo-yo, it would have been repetition of yo or oi.
No, it's a double-barreled word with a hyphen in the middle.
Yo-yo, it is a hyphenated word,
it's
yo-yo.
It's eternal repetition, isn't it?
No, it's hyphenated, we allow it. So, Giles, we're still with you.
What, oi, oi?
Yes, it is hyphenated.
Yes, then it's all...
Oi, oi.
But, well, it must be. He was dyslexic. The hyphen would be there in the middle, whether it's oi, oi, or yo, yo.
It's still repetition, isn't it?
No.
I would elephant, elephant.
Shall I continue?
Yes. We allow hyphenated words.
I think Clement's interruption was on the finest I've ever heard on this program.
42 seconds for Giles. Toys I still enjoy, starting now.
I recently went...
Education.
Yes, John. You didn't get going, Giles.
Come outside and I'll hyphenate you.
I agree with you, Ken. It's one of the more disgraceful programs that we have performed. But there are 40 seconds. There were 2 seconds before he spoke. So you're going to tell us something about toys I still enjoy starting now.
Well, it's my abacus, and I love rolling the balls up and down the wire. I feel that I'm going back to something so basic, and I don't want to know about all these modern calculators. They haven't got that same charisma, charm, magic, call it what you will. But anyway, it's something I have a yen for, plus the rubber duck, of course, which I have in the of a sponge. And I love to squeeze it in the bath and squirt the water all over myself. I really feel quite sexy when I'm doing it. My doctor, and he said, well, of course I'm toys.
Clement Freud-chan.
Repetition of well.
Oh, you are ludicrous, isn't he? He's just getting, what do you call it? Narky, isn't he?
Well, I'm afraid it is correct, and there are 4 seconds to go, and I think we could...
Well, it's what he does it for, you see. He just gets in on that 4 seconds. He's got nothing to contribute to the subject, only a bit. He can only do 4 seconds. Well, so he can wait till that period, you see.
Yes, well, I have to make these judgments on the basis
of... I know, it's
a
heavy burden on me.
So I will shoulder my heavy burden, and as much as... It goes against my nature and instincts, I will say, Kenneth, that I'm afraid it was a correct challenge. And so Clement has 4 seconds on toys I still enjoy starting now.
The toy I most enjoy from my childhood days is called Rhinoceros Rhinoceros.
Oh. Giles Brandreth challenged as he said it, but Clement was very clever, and he said the second rhinoceros after the whistle went, or as it went. So, I'm...
Hyphenated. Like oi. Like oi oi. It's all hyphenated.
Yes, I know.
And here.
Other... You've just heard that other people are going to be hyphenated after the show. The laugh to the present moment, I explain to the listeners, is that Kenneth is quite overcome with success and is making up in a very strange way to Clement Freud. And Clement is showing his usual style and vernacular, completely ignoring it. And he's to say,
I give it 3 weeks.
And who said this wouldn't make good television? Right, let me
give you... Television people.
You're very good when you're not doing
this. Well, I'm not playing the game, yes.
Let me now try and give you the final score before our time runs out. Barry Cryer, coming from his previous triumphs, didn't quite triumph on this occasion. He finished in fourth place. He did manage to gain one or two points, and he made some very good points, which he didn't get any points for. Giles Brandreth made a lot of points, and he gained a lot of points, but he finished up in third place, quite a few points behind Clement Freud, who was quite a few points out in the lead, but along with him in the lead was Kenneth Williams, neck and neck until the final whistle, when they both finished up as our joint winners. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and those of you who listen in foreign lands realize we only play it for fun, and it is a game. We enjoy it. Our audience seem to enjoy it. We hope you enjoy it, and we'll want to tune in again same time next week when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.